This is the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Parade in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola started in motion. Brady takes the snap. Rolls right, throws to the end zone. Catches Reed. Touchdown, Danny Amendola!
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extended. Takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you to our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, where the Patriots had the day off. Players will report, of course, tomorrow to begin preparation for Super Bowl 49 and their visit to Glendale, Arizona to take on the Seattle Seahawks. We will certainly pay attention to that game in the next 2 hours, but we will also talk about the ongoing investigation by the NFL, what some people are calling Deflategate. You can use any term you want to apply to it. We're going to chat momentarily with Scott Zolak, the former Patriot quarterback and my partner on the Patriots radio network, not only about that issue, but also, of course, about the Pats and AFC Championship route of the Indianapolis Colts and, as well, the upcoming matchup with the Seattle Seahawks. We'll also talk in our second hour with Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald. And in between, Jackie Britton will join us. We'll take a listen back to the highlights and the sound bites as well from Sunday night's outstanding performance by the Patriots over Indy in wrapping up the Pats' sixth conference crown under Bill Belichick and led by Tom Brady, much more as well. We'll hear from some of the other Patriot players as well during the course of the next 2 hours. But first, let's get to the former Pat quarterback, also played with Miami Dolphins, Scott Zolak, longtime backup to Drew Bledsoe and Dan Marino, had a chance to help quarterback the Patriots into the playoffs under Pete Carroll. And of course, it will be Carroll leading the Seahawks up against Belichick and the Pats. Seattle try to become the first NFL team to repeat as a Super Bowl champion since Belichick's Patriots did it back in 2003 and 2004. So, first and foremost, thanks. I know it's a busy time, but we appreciate a few minutes.
Shoot that, man. That's a fun time. That's what this is about. It's about getting ready to go to Glendale next week, get all the plans organized, and deal with all this crap from the outside is what people deem another – I don't even want to say the word. It's I got a lot of words for it. I know it's a family program. I can't use it, but bottom line, yeah, I made a living. I did it for 10 years where – I got the footballs ready for Drew Bledsoe and Dan Marino, and it's called doctoring up the ball. That's done by every single quarterback that's ever played the game, and no two balls are alike. No two quarterbacks like the ball exactly the same way, but the job of the backup, the punters, the kickers, long snappers, ball boys, everybody, is to get those balls ready for your starting quarterback to throw them the way he wants them.
And so, just to give some background, I mean, quarterbacks prefer balls of different conditions. Aaron Rodgers has talked openly. Jim Nantz and Phil Sims discussed it on the Patriot Green Bay Packer broadcast. He likes his balls overinflated, he says. Some quarterbacks like them a little softer. Is there an advantage one way or the other?
No.
What's the reasoning behind
whatsoever.
It?
I mean, Terry Bradshaw used to take his index finger, and I was a kid. I grew up in Pittsburgh. Went to watch Terry at camp, and then, you know, I got big hands. I'm 6'5", 240, 245, with really long fingers. I think my wingspan from tip to from thumb to pinky is somewhere around 11. That's pretty good size. And Terry's were even bigger. And I don't know any other quarterback to put the finger on the actual point of the ball. You know, everybody's different. Everybody grips the ball differently. What's funny in all of this is what actually matters more than the inflation of the football is the feel of the white strings. And that's really what you flip through, and you flip the ball, and you see a quarterback get it in the shotgun, and he kind of moves the ball around. He's trying to grab those strings because eventually you get a callus on the tip of your index finger. That's the last thing that leaves the ball. That's what gives it its rotation. And it's your pinky and your ring finger on your throwing hand that are actually on those strings. And no two strings are alike, as is no two footballs are alike. So it's kind of funny to sit back and listen to all the experts like Bob Kravitz and all these other Nimrods, whoever the Rosenberg guy or whatever his name is, kind of act like the experts in all this and think that there's shenanigans going on. It's pretty funny to me.
Well, before we talk about you know, any ramifications possibly for the Patriots, what are the questions you still want answered? What do you want to hear from the NFL to put this behind us for good?
Yeah, when Walt Anderson and his crew, and that's what we do, and this is what always has always happened. You present a bag of balls to the league from each team, and the refs come in, they look at it. Did he actually take a gauge and insert it into the ball and said, hey, this is obviously 13.5 pounds or whatever the poundage is, PSI, and we clear it. So we're going to mark it with our little marker, put our mark on it, and deem this ball worthy. Or did he just come in, go through the bag and say, boy, all these balls feel good to me. It's like a high school basketball referee. It takes the basketball and holds it about chest high, opens both hands, lets it drop to the floor, and if it bounces back up waist high, hey, we got a pretty good ball here. And it's gamesmanship. I mean, it's what it is, man. I want to know who approved the balls and the whole process of how it played out. And I want to know who complained from the Colts, because this is funny, because now all of a sudden we're getting Week 11 stories about, oh, this Adams guy who picked Brady off felt the ball. Well, if that's the case, and you got your ass kicked really three times you faced them prior to it, you're going to play an AFC championship game while they're sitting there coming off a bye after they got out of a rock fight with Baltimore. And by the way, Chuck Pagano, in his opening press conference on Monday, said he talked extensively with Baltimore assistants and also Dean Blandino as to the effects of the identifiable, eligible and ineligible receivers. So you would think that if the ball was such an issue for them way back to week 11, that they had this ready to go from the pre-snap of snap number one, ready to go to test the pass.
Yeah, you know, I've read a report. Ben Volen had a piece with citing a letter from the NFL indicating that the balls were measured twice with a gauge at halftime. I have yet to see a report that there was definitively a gauge used to measure the balls pregame. And the reason I ask that, coming from a baseball background largely, is that in baseball, as we know, umpires often allow, if not almost universally, allow batters to go to the plate with more pine tar than is legally allowed in the rule book.
The pitcher's ball.
Pitchers scuff balls all the time, and they throw balls out of play on a regular basis. But, you know, unless generally a manager or a player from another team asks to have the ball examined, the umpires will allow the game to proceed without any intervention. So I guess along the lines that you expressed, my question is, did Walt Anderson, as a veteran NFL referee, and umpire Carl Paganelli with 16 years in the National Football League, as the guy who handles the football and places it down before every snap, did they look them over, give them a feel per se, and then say, okay, these are approved? With an understanding, too, that, you know, we understand how quarterbacks like the ball condition for a game, and did they get out a gauge and measure them pregame? Because
here's the funny part of it, and I do a show on the Sports Hub every day with Andy Gresh and Hardy, Robert Poole, and Hardy had this great idea today. He came in with two regulation balls and a pump and a gauge, and to even be more specific, so you could even tell that there would even be a more discernible edge as to which one's which. He pumped up one of the footballs to 10 PSI, the other football to 15 PSI. So that's a separation of five, not the 2.5 there. Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, looking at it. And I went outside and actually threw the balls. And we said, hey, which one do you think is the 10 PSI and which one's 15? And we pulled pretty much everybody in the building, walking around, whoever was around. And it came out about 50-50 as to who could discern which one was which. I couldn't tell which one was which. I actually picked the ball that was inflated more at 15 as to be the lighter and less inflated one. So you tell me who's fooling who.
I know the website Pro Football Talk has said, per a league source, that the NFL has reviewed the entire process and determined that the balls were properly checked by officials before the game. It also says that the officials didn't notice anything wrong with the balls while handling them after every play, and the source explains that a pressure difference of 1 or 2 pounds would not be obvious if the official is not specifically looking for it. So is there really much of an advantage then if it's imperceptible to the official?
It wasn't obvious to me with the difference of five. But hey, you know what this is going to do? This is going to set forth a set of guidelines, and it's going to go pre-Peyton Manning when you open up balls right out of the box and it comes out with the orange sheen. All these little quarterbacks with little hands are going to have issues now with their little gloves, and they're not going to be able to doctor the balls up and do what they want to do, because all of a sudden the Indianapolis Colts think they were getting screwed over by some ill-inflated ball. It stinks for the quarterback position. It does, because now all of a sudden this is something that's gone on ever since I was a kid. I mean, we never tested PSI ball pressure, and we worked those balls. I worked the balls for 10 years on Saturdays, where we would go in there, Tom Tupa and I would get coffee, and we would go in there for an hour and a half and put them in a dryer and push the ends in and rub them on sandpaper and get them wet, then put them back in a dryer. We never once tested the PSI. It just became down to, you know, what Phil, the starter of that day, the way he likes the ball, that's the way it was going to roll.
Yeah, I think that's
an absolute asinine joke that's taking place right now. There are a lot of things in this league we complain about, so it's funny that here we are doing PSI gate when supposedly domestic violence, steroids, and suspensions of Adderall and everything were the main issues, but now I guess it's PSIs of the football, so we'll go with that.
Well, I think the NFL will obviously reexamine its policy, and as you say, a lot of quarterbacks around the NFL might not be pleased with the outcome. Matt Leinart, former NFL quarterback, did tweet out, it's one of the many tweets that I've seen, and he said everybody knows that quarterbacks essentially a doctor of the ball. Brad Johnson, the Super Bowl winning quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Off. I mean, he's
$7,500. Yeah.
I bribed somebody to do this. So what are you going to do? Take their Super Bowl trophy away? It's pretty funny to me. Now, where I'll be totally in on it, and you say, I'll sit there and I'll admit, boy, the Patriots did something wrong here, is when you get 90% of any quarterback that's ever played this game and side with, boy, you can't touch the ball. We need those at 13.5 because this thing is so up and down and divided. It's, you get half the guys saying they do it this way, half that way, and it really goes to show you after you open up this can of worms that they got an issue here, and not the Patriots have an issue, but now all of a sudden the Colts, the quarterback position could thank the Colts from here on forward because I think now it's going to go under further scrutiny and we'll go back to the 6'5", 6'6" guys that play the position and the guys that run around and don't really have the big hands that can't grip it. You can't really do much to doctor the footballs anymore.
Of course, for many outside of New England, the Patriots operate under a different presumption than most because of what transpired involving the Jets and the Pats, of course, in 2007. But the players for the Patriots who are getting ready for the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, regardless of what happens these next couple of days, hopefully the NFL will come out with a statement and there will be some transparent explanation by the NFL as to what happened and they'll reveal their findings. But if it lingers, if it continues on to the rest of this week, into the weekend, into next week when the team is out at Arizona, how prepared are the Patriots players to deal with potential distractions? It seems like they're well suited to deflect a potential distraction.
Be unprepared. I mean, I've been scrutinized for how many years now? And you got a coach and an organization that knows how to close the doors down and circle the wagons better than anybody else. And if this isn't some rallying cry that, okay, it's a total disrespect, it's the national hate for the team for their success year after year after year, and it's contenders. I mean, four straight AFC championships. You've called games for 2 years now. You did an AFC title, now you're getting set to do a Super Bowl. People are tired of the same old act. They're tired of Brady. They're tired of Belichick. You get out to Arizona, you shut it down, you circle the wagons, and you get ready to play a football game and let everybody else talk about it while you get ready to play a game where nobody is even talking about the on-field product. And then you go out, you shock the world that Sunday, and there ain't a damn thing the NFL can do about it because you go out, you win, and boy, you did it with regulation balls now. So how's the world going to take that?
Hey, we're going to talk a lot more, of course, about the Pats and the Seahawks next week. But
that'll
let me ask
fun.
You first, just the idea of watching Belichick go against Pete Carroll, two coaches you played for, or at least Bill was an assistant when you were on the team, and you've worked with him for so long.
Sure.
When he was the head, when you're in your role as a broadcaster, and his, of course, as the head coach of the team, I've heard both suggest, if not say outright, that they're really more similar than they are dissimilar. In fact, your former teammate Drew Bledsoe said that in an ESPN interview this week, that really, on the surface stylistically they're different, but really at heart they're very much the same.
Yeah, and I think it goes from the defensive-minded end. Both guys that like to play defense, that like to adapt, and I think Bill really respects Pete because, hey, this is what I am, and I'm not going to change. I think Bill's kind of the same way, but you do got to tweak things as the years go by. I'm fired up to see it because I like both. I think both. We won when we had Pete. Shoot, I was playing when we had a shot at the playoffs, and we went down to Jacksonville. Pete was my head coach. We're kind of undermanned there, but you could win different ways, and I think that's the coolest thing between the two. and you just even look at Pete. It's not a Raven or a Jet or Coltway that kind of looks at you with a crooked eye. Pete's like, man, that's cool. That's balling. I mean, they won. They helped win their game on a fake field goal, right? I mean, is that hoodwinking somebody or trying something different? I think Pete's got an appreciation for it. Bill does too. They respect each other, and makes the game even better next week.
And Pete, even in talking about the various formations and the use of ineligible and eligible receivers, said, hey, it's good ball.
Yeah, that's cool. And I think when you go outside the box, you deviate from the norm. I think that's what excites really good coaches, is you try and find other ways to win. You know, it's like stretching, you know, it's stretching it a little bit. And being creative. I think the creativity end of it, and, you know, Pete's blitzes and, you know, the Legion of Boom style, it's going to be exciting. I really respect Seattle. I can't wait to get deeper into the actual, you know, intricacies of it and what they do on offense and watch Russell Wilson closer. It's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be a rock fight. It's going to be a hell of a game.
And, of course, the Pats are here in this spot because of what they did to Indianapolis on Sunday night. And, you know, for all the talk about the balls being underinflated in the first half and then examined in the second half, seems to me, in retrospect, there were a lot of drops in that first half, uncharacteristically for the Pats, Edelman, Amendola, Gronk. But in the second half, Brady was very precise, 8 for his first 8, and the offense was far better in the final 30 minutes overall than in the first 30.
You're not kidding. And thank you, DeQuell Jackson and Chuck Pagano and everybody that filed the complaint, because we got the right football in there. And instead of 17-7, our quarterback goes 8 of 8 to start that half. Eventually it's 9 of 10, 2 touchdowns. They actually had a drop there, and that's why the incomplete was there. And by the way, after the right ball was getting, got in there, it was a 28-0 deficit in the second half. So thank you, Walt Anderson and company.
All right, Zoe, final thoughts about what the Patriots will do this week before they head out to Arizona. How important are these next few days to get the game plan installed and really focus on what's ahead, having put all those ticket requests and all the various potential distractions behind
them? Step one, and I think Bill, you know, he's got a history of knowing how to get that done. He'll preach that to the team. You got 4 days to channel your anger and listen to all the spin and the rhetoric and all the experts out there that act like they know what goes on within those walls. Circle the wagons, get on the bus, go out to Arizona and do your job. And I think it's back to the motto that's been established from week one this year. Do your job. And that's all they need to do.
All right, so getting ready to do ours in Glendale.
Great.
Can't wait.
You do your job. You finish this show, bro.
All right. Thanks so much for your time, buddy.
All right, buddy. See you, pal.
All right, thanks. Scott Zolak with us, of course, color commentator for the Patriots Radio Network on our flagship 98.5, the Sports Hub, and our string of affiliates throughout New England. Now we want to step outside the region and go to Jackson in California, who's been standing by and hold for a while. We'll get to you, Andy, in Vermont as well. Nick Baby Love from Florida has been on hold for a long, long time. So we've got some guys in order here in the lineup before we visit with Jackie Britton of Patriots.com and also listen to the highlights and sound bites from Sunday's AFC Championship game. But let's start with Jackson in California. Jackson, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you said it before, and I don't think it's been touched based on enough. Look, we either cheat or we didn't. Okay, great. Lovely. End of story. Why aren't we questioning the refs? The guys who touched the ball more than Brady did.
Yeah, you know.
Those are the guys who hand it off to the ball boys and are circling constantly, changing balls. It's an imperfect system. Sometimes the Colts balls are going to be in Brady's hands. Sometimes Luck's balls are going to be in Tom's hands. Why are we not questioning the refs more?
Well, and I think that's a question that should be asked. And, you know, that's where I want to hear from Carl Paganelli, the umpire involved, and Walt Anderson, the referee. And hopefully in the NFL's investigation, when the final accounting is done, there will be statements from those officials. Because, again, at first glance, you look at the situation on the field and you think about it. With a 16-year resume in the NFL as an official, if there was any advantage gain one way or the other, underinflated, overinflated, you would think that the referee or the umpire in particular, like you said, the guy who replaces the ball after every snap, would pick up on it. There certainly was no indication in the first half until there was the delay in the early in the minutes of the second half when they switched out a ball that the officials were concerned whatsoever about the balls that were being used by either team.
Yeah, funny how a linebacker pointed this out, too, even though he did intercept it.
Yeah, that to me is, you know, obviously the defense doesn't handle the opposing team's football, and each team, of course, supplies the footballs that it will use offensively. And you're right, occasionally, according to accounts, the balls will get mixed up, and somebody from one team will have a chance on offense to use the football that the other team has supplied. But as a general rule, the defense doesn't touch the ball until there's a turnover. So I guess I can understand that being the reason why DeQuell Jackson in the playoff game, and prior to that, according to Chris Mortensen's report, Mike Adams with the two interceptions in the regular season were the individuals for the Colts who first brought the matter to the attention of their equipment manager. But, you know, perhaps DeQuell Jackson was simply suspicious because of what Adams had said back in week 11. And again, you know, we have to wait for the findings of the NFL's investigation. And hopefully, as I said, hopefully it will be transparent to a point where we hear from all the parties involved, including the officials who work the game, and just exactly what process they went through prior to the game in deeming those balls ready for play. Again, it's USA Today did a story today as well. It's been online for a few hours about the process if you really wanted to deflate footballs, and how it's not exactly as easy as sticking a needle in the football and letting some air out. And again, the quarterbacks are so meticulous about the balls that they want to use in games, just like a hitter in baseball is about, you know, the condition of his bat and how the grip is and the weight and the length of the bat and you know, that the way the handle feels in his hands, or a hockey player might be about the curvature of his stick. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing what the NFL has to say before making a final judgment. The unfortunate part about this is that so many have already made their final judgment well before all the facts are known.
Right?
Yeah, but Jackson, appreciate the call. Thanks for holding on for so long. And we've got a couple of others. All right, Jackson from California, and Andy is standing by in Vermont. Andy, how are you today?
Hey, Bob. Thanks for having me on. Man, there's been so much. Everybody's been so wound up about this ball situation. I think, you know, what was said before on John's show and just recently on yours, when you have 30-degree weather, they implemented more balls available for the game. It's nothing new. I mean, we're going into Super Bowl 49 here. And, you know, throughout the ages, you know, the procedure, how they've work stuff hasn't changed too much, and if it needed to change, it has changed, and it will change if this becomes a wicked, wicked issue. DeQuell Jackson, great player. Brown should have kept him. Colts really lucked out when they signed him. The Patriots scoring more touchdowns, throwing the ball just as much as second half. You know, you had guys like Cribbs, who his specialty is running back the ball. It's not bouncing a ball off your helmet. It's running the ball back. So any way you look at it, Patriots outplayed the Colts, and that's why they're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, even some of the Colts, including Eric Walden, a linebacker, in his words, they whooped our, you know, insert the three-letter synonym for butt. The football's had nothing to do with it. I think Dwayne Allen, the tight end for the Indianapolis Colts, tweeted as much the same, essentially, that you know, they could have played with a flat football, or his exact words might have even been they could have used a bar of soap, and they still beat us. It had nothing to do with it. So at least there's been that acknowledgement from Colts players, and even from those Colts, the Indianapolis media, who've been so outspoken in terms of the harsh punishment they want to see imposed on the Patriots, have said it had no impact on the game. I will take that back. One of the writers did say that, he wrote that it was rigging the outcome of the game, which, you know, again, the rules are in place, and if there is evidence that rules were violated knowingly, then there have to be ramifications. I mean, that's the reality of it. But, I mean, how severe are those ramifications? And when you're talking about you know, suggesting that a team be removed from the Super Bowl, I mean, you know, based on what former quarterbacks like Tim Hasselbeck on ESPN said, and what Scott Zolak has told us as well, reading about Brad Johnson, Eli Manning, some of the things that they have had done or want done to make sure that the balls are in proper condition to their liking, at least suitable to their standards for the game. You know, to me, it's akin in a lot of respects to a groundskeeper in baseball, manicuring the baselines so that if a team is a good bunting team, for example, that the ball will stay in fair territory. Or maybe growing the grass a little thicker on the infield if you've got a pitcher who's a ground ball pitcher. Or, in fact, for years at Dodger Stadium when a sinker baller was on the mound, an otherwise hard surface, there were claims that in front of home plate there was extra water applied pregame by the grounds crew. So there's been gamesmanship in all sports of the like. And, unfortunately, in this case, it with the Super Bowl on the horizon, this has become an issue that, you know, I don't intend to make a bad pun, but it's been overblown. And, I think, unfortunately, though, with 2 weeks between now and the game, and, of course, with the anti-Patriot sentiment to a large degree, and again, given what transpired in the minds of so many outside of New England back in 2007, that indeed, people are going to look for any opportunity to pile on, and that's what some are doing. But, from my standpoint, I think it's been a rush to judgment at the very least, and so much of what's been suggested is way over the top.
Yeah, I wouldn't say any press is good press either. You know, the Colts, the way they played, the way the Patriots covered them in the secondary, even when the Colts ran three tight ends, one of their tight ends ran out of bounds before he even got the first down, but they still gave it to him. And if it wasn't for that, they probably wouldn't even scored that game.
Yeah, I mean, you can go back and nitpick a lot of different things about, various plays here and there. But, yeah, I think the most significant points to be made about the game are that the Patriots really thoroughly dominated in every facet, and that the PSI of the football really had no bearing on the outcome whatsoever, and that, again, the balls were replaced at halftime, according to reports. They were measured a couple of times, according to a letter sent to the Globe, as I read it, or as memory serves, and the balls apparently were replaced at halftime, and the Patriots still went on to dominate in even greater fashion, and Brady was even better in the second half than in the first half. So, again, as you mentioned, as well as our previous caller, the officials who handled the football didn't notice any improprieties during the first half of play, and those are two guys, in terms of Carl Paganelli, the umpire, and Walt Anderson, the referee, who've been at it for well over 30 years combined in the National Football League. Addie, thank you so much. Jackie Britton has stepped into studio as well from Patriots.com. We're going to visit with her momentarily as well. And as we do, I want to welcome in very briefly Nick Baby Love from Florida. He's been on hold for about 90 minutes, a regular caller here on Patriots.com radio and a regular tweeter and emailer. And Nick, again, I'll ask you to keep it brief, and we'll ask you as well to get to the point about the game or the issue you want to discuss. Thanks so much for calling us in once more.
Well, hey, brother, you know I love you, and I really care about Scott and Jackie and all of you, and I really got too much to say. I'm just disappointed in all the callers. We don't need you from Patriots Nation if you're going to overreact to, we happen to know the media, and I wish you would just comment on that, where the Chris Martins and all these other Mamalukes, they want ratings, and so they see an opportunity here. And this is,
Nick, let me interrupt for quickly, because I think, Chris Mortensen made the report about the 11 of the 12 balls being underinflated based on his sources. But he has also said, frankly, that I think specifically today I heard him say, look, we don't know all the findings. This is what's been told to me, what my sources indicated, but we don't know all the findings. And he has not rushed to judgment. I will say that about Mortensen's reporting, at least based on what I've heard. Of course, I haven't been tuned to ESPN all day long, but there are some others, like in Indianapolis, Bob Kravitz, longtime columnist in Indianapolis, now works for a TV station there, was on the Toucher and Rich morning show in Boston today on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and he thinks that Belichick should be fired. I think it's a little preposterous, to say the least, not a lot preposterous.
Yeah.
Greg Doyle, who's been a very outspoken critic of all things New England, from Dan Shaughnessy to the Patriots, to Boston media, to Boston fans in the last 7 days since he came out here to cover the AFC Championship, has referred to it as rigging the outcome of a game, and he wants the Patriots removed from the Super Bowl.
Oh my
gosh. Again. Sorry. We have our view of their opinions. And, so Nick, Chris Mortensen has certainly been on this story, but by no means has gone as far as those guys.
Well, I mean, look, I just want to be respectful to you, to your wishes, because you often give me too much time. But just talking out to Scott and to Jackie, who I love so much to watch her on the thing, you have to understand, I'm in Miami. It's New York City South. And the bottom line is, what the public doesn't understand is, you know, their haters, they're always going to hate. This is all just total BS, and they want to get ratings, and it doesn't matter. I love my team, and if you love this team, you're just going to root for them. I could care less about any of this. I'm so much in a rage, then guess what? I may come to Phoenix. Now, well, if I come to Phoenix, first of all, I'm just going to shut up now. I want to reiterate how much I love Jackie and Scott and everybody in the family. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you know, are you loyal to your team? This team has taken me through my cancer and all my freaking eye surgeries.
Wow.
And that's the bottom line. They keep me alive every day. And you know my personal story, Bob. So this story means diddly squat. Stay loyal to the Patriots. And that's all I get to say, Bob. I love you. I'm going to send you a personal message, and hopefully I'll see you in Phoenix.
I have one suggestion for you. I think that you should crank up some Taylor Swift, Shake It Off, you know, because the haters going to hate.
I happen to, Bob knows I know Taylor Swift.
Well, there you go.
I'm in the music business, Jackie.
Well, there you go. Perfect.
Go off on Twitter.
Okay.
Bye, guys. God bless you.
All right, Nick. Thanks so much. Jackie, how about that? A personal message for you as well.
I know. That was nice. Wow, I definitely will get that around here.
Like, what would he mean?
No, I'm just kidding. No. You are definitely standalone from the, you know, from the other Andy Harts of the world that there are.
Andy loves because he Andy kids because
I'm the
he loves
sister. I know. I'm the sister. I love it. It's great. No, that was great. Passionate, fired up fan. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the loyal listeners of PFW and
the Bob
all
Sosa
things
Show,
Patriots.com radio. Absolutely. Yeah.
There you go. So wow, we are still talking about this, huh?
Yeah, we're.
It's hard to ignore, I guess. But tomorrow's going to be. Whew, I don't even want to think about tomorrow.
Press conference is tomorrow. Bill
Press
Belichick,
conference,
Tom Brady.
Palooza. Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, it's it certainly will be a circus here.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that we can anticipate when it comes to the media swarm
right.
at Gillette Stadium. It already was early in the week before this story really started
right.
to get traction.
Yeah.
A crew from the Weather Channel out here. I
right.
guess a little sneak preview of what we're going to get next week out in Arizona.
Yeah, it's funny because the reactions were so genuine, I thought, from Nate Solder and Brian Timms when we spoke to them on Monday. And this had kind of started to come to the surface a little bit. And, I mean, their reactions to me say it all. I mean, they had, I think Nate Solder said, you know, whoever it was that asked, he was like, he goes, I mean, I don't know anything about that. I'm just happy I caught the ball. Like he
yeah, I think he thought there
no
was a
idea.
Reference to
him
running in
the ball.
With a touchdown,
right.
yeah.
And I think, yeah, so that just shows you how genuine his reaction was. And then Brian Timms was just like, I don't even know what you mean by that. So, I don't know. Tomorrow's going to be crazy to say the least. There's going to be a lot of people asking questions. There's going to be a lot of people getting shut down. And at the end of the day, we still might not even find anything out, you know.
Absolutely.
Which is fine,
yeah.
But it's going to consume this week, and that's just disheartening because there should be so many other storylines, you know, leading up to this game. So hopefully we get through tomorrow and the next few days, and then, you know, other things will happen, and then we'll be on to Seattle for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Having an opportunity to call a Super Bowl is, for most in my profession, if at all, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are looking ahead at the biggest game on the American sports landscape,
Absolutely.
Not just football.
Right.
And this is what we've got to talk about for the next couple of days. And that is frustrating,
yeah.
to say the least. But,
yeah.
you know, at the same time, we have to put our attention on the next week and a half for the Pats getting ready for the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
A lot of guys who did talk yesterday also discussed Sunday night, mm-hmm. the feeling Solder had, for example, scoring that touchdown,
right.
that was also so authentic.
Yeah.
He was so happy after
was.
The game and even the next day. Absolutely.
And good for him. He should be. He is such one of those guys who's always so quiet. He never really says a whole lot, but immediately following the game and then when we talked to him again about it on Monday, just such genuine, you know, just kind of like a little kid in a candy store kind of thing. I was just so happy And that was cool to see. That was funny. But yeah.
It was really an innocent reaction on his part, a genuine right. thrill to have caught the ball
right.
and scored the touchdown
yeah.
as a tackle eligible.
Right. And however many pounds he is. He's a big guy.
Heaviest guy in postseason history, apparently.
Yeah.
And Gary Gilliam, an offensive lineman, a rookie for the Seahawks, caught a touchdown pass on a fake field goal. So
there you go.
These two teams will have something in common coming
yeah.
off their championship game victories.
Makes sense. There's, you know, some Pete Carroll mind over there and, you know, all that good stuff. There's a lot of ties with these two teams.
Yes, there are. And,
yeah.
and it's going to be really, I think, great to explore all those storylines
yeah,
in the next week and a half. And it was interesting to me, speaking of the Seahawks and their come-from-behind win, to hear and observe the fans at Gillette Stadium watching that game on the video board
yeah.
and their reactions, the highs and lows
right.
of that remarkable comeback for Seattle.
Yeah, we were, before the game, before our game started here, I was in the club level hosting like a little panel with Kevin Falk, and we kind of just talk about the game, and of course they have the game on, the TV above us, so it's like, no one's paying attention to Kevin Falk and me or anything that we're saying, which is totally fine, because honestly, I wanted to watch the game too, so you have it on. But I mean, people are just like, you hear the ooh and the oh my god, and it's just like, it was such an awesome game to watch. I was kind of like in and out, but I love that they had it playing on the boards in Gillette Stadium. So I was on the sideline for a little bit and was able to catch like the very end of that game. But yeah, people were really into that one. That was quite a comeback for sure for the Seahawks. That was incredible.
Yeah, you spent so much time talking to the Patriots, of course, in your role as a Patriots.com reporter and for Patriots All Access on television. Next week, when we go to Glendale, you're going to have an opportunity to ask questions of the Seahawks on Media Day.
Right.
Anybody in particular for Seattle who really interests you?
Man, I don't know yet. I mean, you know, you got to say Richard Sherman's obviously an interesting guy, but we're going to try and do some fun, featurey type things while we're in Arizona. Kind of do like a little taste of Arizona, what it's like, kind of bring fans in the best way that we can through, you know, a video platform to Arizona. So we're going to kind of try and do some different touristy things. We'll definitely be at Media Day, but I don't know, you know, we're definitely going to cover it, you know, all the hardcore football talk, but going to have a little bit of fun out there as well. I think Richard Sherman would be interesting. I mean, he's got to be up there. One of the most interesting, you just never know what he's going to say. I don't really know what I'm going to ask him. That might have to be phrased very carefully, but, you know, I really like Russell Wilson. Seems like a really, really cool down-to-earth guy, and Coach Belichick had so many nice things to say about him. So that would be cool just as a, you know, a Patriots reporter, you know, just kind of seeing some of their personnel and getting to interview some of their players, I think will be an interesting experience.
I think when Bill Belichick likens Russell Wilson to Roger Staubach,
that's really
the ultimate compliment.
Yeah, it's like,
from the head coach who grew up around the Naval Academy admiring Roger Staubach as a midshipman.
Yeah, that was quite the compliment to dish out to someone. So, and I mean, you do see it, though. You see it in everything that, I mean, that's one of the countless storylines in this matchup, but you've got kind of the new quarterback who likes to run a lot, who's obviously really smart, really talented, versus kind of the old school Brady, who can run, as we've seen this season. So that's going to be really awesome to watch those two battle it out, for sure.
What about, you know, you talked about activities for next week and in the next few days here in Foxborough, getting ready to depart for Arizona. What's on tap?
Really, it's just strictly practice. You know, we'll do Get Jacked. By the way, I would like to ask people to write in to patriots.com/getjacked. That's kind of like our video mailbag. But in terms of like the community, there's nothing that I know of. You know, this week the schedule is a little bit different. So they'll have, you know, pretty much just practice and interviews all week. So we'll kind of stick to our typical just news platform this week. But next week will be when the fun stuff happens. And I don't know any confirmed anything about, you know, a rally. I haven't heard any of that stuff, but so as far as being in the community goes, there's not much this week.
You know, one of the things as we visit with Jackie Britton that struck me about the NFL Films mic'd up segments that I saw last night on Inside the NFL, and also with his comments on Monday when he met with the media, Julian Edelman, at the podium, or he was on the field while the championship celebration was ongoing, and he said to somebody, I don't know who, what teammate, said something about going to the Super Bowl, and Julian made a comment about, I've been there and lost.
Right.
And then he also talked about it on Monday, that he's gone there and lost.
Right.
And the Patriots did, of course, when in 2011, February 2012. But there's a focus. It's not just an achievement having gone to the Super Bowl.
Right.
for the second time in his career, he is really determined
absolutely
to keep these guys on point.
Yeah, he had said that. And at first I was kind of like, oh, okay, you know, good for you. You've been in the Super Bowl. But he was like, but you know what? I lost. So it almost, I don't want to say it doesn't mean anything, but here it's so much more than just getting to the big show. You know, they want to finish the job. You know, it's been all about doing their job up to this point. They want to get it done. They want to finish it. And that's, I mean, are they excited for the Super Bowl? 100%. But they're in no way, like, you know, riding the sugar high of going to the Super Bowl, you know. So, but yeah, that was a very raw emotion as well, you know. So I hope things go well. I mean, the fact that I'll be interested, too, to see the injury report this week and practice, and because he's been pretty banged up. It's pretty remarkable that they have as many guys as they do still who are healthy enough to play and to be on the football field. But obviously we'll know more at practice tomorrow.
Yeah, Julian first had the hip problem in Indianapolis when he was tackled near the first down marker. And, of course, hip injury resurfaced on Sunday night. And he came back a couple of different times.
Right.
Went down to the locker room and came back out and a couple of times left the field to the sideline, and boy, he had a great game overall for the Pats.
Right, so that's that to me, I mean, that's pretty remarkable that they have so many guys who are, I mean, healthy in a sense that they can play.
And a big reason why they're here, of course. And, of course, we're also going to keep our eyes on Brian Storick and Chris Jones, a couple of guys who did not play, were inactive for the game on Sunday on the injury report, looking for them possibly to return.
Absolutely, yeah, a lot of question marks
possibly,
with Storick. But, yeah, that's just, I guess it's part of the game. But it's pretty remarkable that they do have what they have at this point in the season, the postseason. Yeah.
Anything else, Jackie, that strikes you about the days ahead?
Getting ready for a big week. Getting ready for a big week. I'm a little nervous. My first Super Bowl. But, yeah, very exciting. There's just going to be a lot going on. We'll be out there for the week. So I'm excited, but I'm, like, nervous because I just know there's going to be chaos everywhere, but it's going to be awesome chaos. So I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll
it's a very exciting time, regardless of what we've had to talk about.
Right.
These last 48, 72 hours.
Right, because now, we didn't need more, but now we've got it, so we'll have to deal with it.
All right. Awesome, Jackie.
Thank you for having me, as always.
All right, Jackie. And of course, even more heartened now that Nick Babylove has sent his love. Jackie Britton on Patriots.com, and you can watch her as well on Patriots All Access this Friday night on the CBS affiliate in Boston, WBZ-TV, and as well thereafter as it's archived on Patriots.com. Got a couple of phone callers waiting on hold. Let's go to Don in Detroit. Don, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I just came in on the segment. I don't know what the topic is, but I'm so excited. I'm hyperventilating. I can't even stand this Belichick bashing, but here's what I want to say, put out to you. You know, I would suggest, okay, they're saying he did this or they did that or whatever, but I suggest that I'm not trying to make a mockery of this show or anything, but I'm saying, you know, being from Detroit, I know a little thing about leather, rubber, and all that, okay, and air pressure. I would suggest to put nitrogen in the football and have an air pressure sensor like they have in the tires here, okay? So, well, what do you think of that? I mean, do you think that's funny, or do you think that's a serious suggestion? So that way, maybe the Patriot organization could suggest that. I don't know. But it was just an idea that I couldn't stop getting out of my mind. Like an air pressure sensor in the football.
Well, I think it's an interesting idea.
Over nitrogen.
And believe me, long ago I made a mockery of this show. So you had nothing to do with any mockery on this program. I'm the one to be mocked for sure. But it's an interesting thought. But my thought about what lies ahead for the NFL is that, you know, the procedure was changed several years ago at the request of a couple of established quarterbacks. It's been reported that Peyton Manning and in fact, Tom Brady has been mentioned as well. Quarterbacks went to the league and asked for a different procedure with the way the game balls are prepared. I've heard Boomer Esiason during an interview this past week talk about when he played, you know, how the ball was just out of the box and it was very slick and it was hard to handle at times. But we now know that, of course, quarterbacks, and in fact, there's a great story that Bill Pennington wrote in the New York Times last November about Eli Manning, and the title is Eli Manning's Footballs Are Months in the Making, and the kind of extensive work over the course of a long, long period of time the Giants equipment staff would do in order, according to Pennington, to make sure that each quarterback has a ball prepared the way he likes it. Those are the words that Pennington wrote, the way he likes
it. I see, yeah.
So
yeah.
My guess is that, you know, as I understand it now, the officials examine the balls a little more than 2 hours prior to kickoff. They're at that point in time to be measured and weighed. And again, I'm still waiting for a report to clearly indicate that prior to the game on Sunday night, that the officials did use a gauge prior to the game in examining those footballs. It's been reported that the balls were measured and weighed at halftime.
But
I think what we're probably going to see is that the NFL may go back to a situation where league officials are the only ones who handle the footballs right before kickoff, and maybe there'll be a little more standardization. Kind of a happy medium between the way it used to be done and the way it has been done in more recent years. But, we'll see. I wouldn't expect nitrogen to be used to inflate the footballs, but it's an interesting thought nonetheless. Don, thank you so much. And Kareem is standing by in New Jersey as well. And by the way, just to give you a quick tease, we're going to talk after the top of the hour with Jeff Howe, the Boston Herald, who does such an outstanding job on the Patriots beat reporting for the Herald. And we'll talk more than just this ongoing story regarding the footballs from Sunday night. But Kareem in New Jersey has a few thoughts. Kareem, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, man? Can you hear me fine?
I can hear you well. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, I'm a first-time listener, first-time on the show, and I've always, watched your videos, obviously, on, Jackie Brand and all that. I always thought you have a great demeanor, and I appreciate you being part of this organization. As a matter of fact, I follow you on Twitter, and I love all the tweets, and you actually tweeted back. I also appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate your support and your listening, and as well your following. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm always on, Playbook with John Rook, but definitely we'll give you guys a shot because I'm enjoying the show. Did you guys know that we're going to the Super Bowl? That's the first thing I want to know because.
I can't wait. Very excited about it.
Okay, this is great. It's very, very hard, as a lot of people know. I live here in New Jersey, and I'm basically in New York. You know how it is. Giants fan, Jets fan, you name it. Let's just put it this way. I was really, really tired and sick to my stomach for the last 48 hours, okay? You hear all the comments. You hear the Facebook posts. It's just really obnoxious. But I always love to take time to hear different opinions and just make up my own opinion. After listening to you guys, after listening to John yesterday and today, reading all the stuff, that nothing really has been done, not done by the NFL, but nothing has really been proven. So this is my two cents, and I appreciate your time. Whether we did this or we did not, okay, let's just go back. Unfortunately, we are under the microscope just because, I hate to say it, Coach Belichick's history and a couple incidents that happened before, Spygate or whatnot. I think this is more pointed towards us. Oh, they always cheat. Okay, I think cheat is really a big word, considering this is really a very minuscule thing. It didn't affect the game, that's number one. Number two, it could be not even a proven fact. Let's just honestly put this behind in less than 10 days. I mean, we have a Super Bowl game to attend, guys. This is just all I'm going to have to say. Put this behind. It's literally water under the bridge. That's just me. Whether and if it's true and if we did this, you know what? Let's pay the fine and move on. And I'm done. I'm really done with this whole topic, and I am not going to talk about it to anybody. This is it. This is me venting for the last time.
All right, Kareem. Well, I appreciate your venting with us. And, I will tell you, this isn't what we usually do on this particular program. We try to delve into a little more analysis with guests. It's really a guest-driven program to preview the next game, which we will do next week when we get out to Glendale, of course, just a few days away from the Super Bowl. But at this point in time, it's hard to escape this particular subject. And I think you really do speak for a lot of people who are Patriot fans all over the map. And it's time for venting in a lot of respects. And at a time when many are willing to rush to judgment overall, Peter King has just written a piece on the MMQB, and from his vantage point, he believes that Roger Goodell will take time and should take time with this investigation and not hastily come to a decision. And unfortunately, that means that the conversation will be ongoing. And perhaps even after the Super Bowl is completed, this will be something we'll still be dealing with. But my hope is that it can be wrapped up as quickly as possible and that, again, a transparent report will be delivered by the NFL. And we can put it behind us and just concentrate on what should be a fabulous Super Bowl. Because you're right, we should be excited about what lies ahead in Glendale. This matchup of two teams all season long were the best in their conferences respectively. And the team that is trying to become a repeat champion for the first time since the other franchise did it, led by a coach who used to coach for that franchise with a great defense against arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, certainly the winningest postseason quarterback of all time. And he's matched up on the other side by a very outspoken corner who is trying to supplant a counterpart for the Patriots, who's been regarded as the best in the business at that position since he came into the league. So there's a lot of great storylines, and I can't wait to really delve into the on-field storylines that we will next week.
And just to add one last thing for the fans who I've been hearing saying that, oh, what am I going to say to my children? Here we go again. We got to return the jerseys. Do me a favor. I'm going to just say one thing, and I say this because I have children, and I'm the biggest supporter. I think, the one thing I want to say is, listen, I have a father, right? My father is not the most perfect father in the history of mankind. He makes mistakes, but guess what? He's still my father. I'll always love him. That's what you tell your children. This is your organization, okay? Nobody's perfect, okay? Actually, we're closest to perfection, okay? We win a lot. We have a great chip on our shoulder that we carry. We have the best quarterback in history, okay?
All right, Kareem.
Hopefully we get a win here and we move on.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thanks, Kareem. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Jeff Howell, the Boston Herald, right after this on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Welcome back to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Tom takes the step, throw it to the near side, catch is made by Vereen, and he's in for a Patriots touchdown!
Have a hot Patriots take? Call Bob on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Bob Soucy.
We welcome you back to our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. Of course, inviting you to call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, but we're going to be visiting on the Ace Ticket Hotline shortly with Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald, one of the beat reporters who covers the Patriots on a regular basis. And, of course, we'll discuss the ongoing story that has been the topic of conversation, really overwhelming the airwaves both locally, regionally, and, in fact, nationally, with the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts playing the AFC Championship, and reportedly the Colts claiming the Patriots used underinflated footballs, and various reports that have followed since. And Jeff Howe will join us in just a few minutes as well to discuss the looming matchup of the Pats and the Seahawks in Super Bowl 49. We also want to take a look back at the Patriots' win over the aforementioned Colts, the route by the Pats of the Colts in the AFC Championship, securing Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's sixth conference crown together by a 45-7 final. So with our thanks to producer Kevin Collins, once again, diligently putting together a wonderful montage, let's have a listen to the highlights and the sound bites from Sunday night.
All right, so thank you so much. A year ago when these teams met in the AFC divisional round, the temperature at game time, 57 degrees in the warmest home playoff game in Pats history. Tonight, the temperature, 53. The rain falling, the wind starting to stir.
It was, you know, a great team win. I mean, we need it from all three phases. And to make to this point is a great accomplishment for our team. Hopefully our best is yet to come.
It's a low snap. Allen controls it at his ankles, launches a high punt with plenty of hang time. It's short and Cripps comes up and he bobbles it. Ooh, loses the football and Darius Fleming is on the spot to recover for the Patriots.
What is he doing?
Heavy set, tight end each way. Gronkowski motions to the right. Brady turns, gives it to Blunt. Rams straight ahead. LeGarrette turning the legs, reaching again for the goal line. That's driving it forward. Touchdown, Patriots!
The players play great like they have all year. This is really a good group. It's a hard-working group. They work with each other. They try to help each other get better. You know, couldn't be happier. happier for this group of guys.
The all-time postseason leader in field goals made, so many of them for the Patriots. Adam Vinatieri is on now to attempt a 51-yarder in his ninth year for Indy. The snap and the spot by McAfee. Swing of the right leg. The kick driving toward the uprights, and the kick is no good. Wright steps back from the right side and motions to the left. Brady pulls away. Short throw. Right side for Devlin. Stood up. Ready for the goal line. Diving forward. Touchdown. Patriots. Not to be denied.
They said he went to the school called Brown. Yeah, he may have went to class, but that kid spent a lot of time in the weight room.
You know, we needed him to play good and step up and play big tonight, and they did. We got it from so many guys, and that was really the story of the game, in my opinion.
Brady drops back. Play fake to Breed. Tom fires down the middle for drive. Ball's picked off by Nicole Jackson inside the five. He carries it to the left, and he's knocked down by Vereen at the six.
Bad throw by Brady. Forced the issue. Come on, Tom.
First and goal to go for the Colts out of the eye. Doyle, the fullback for Tipton, who takes the handoff. He runs it right. He dives in for a touchdown. The Colts capitalizing on mistakes by the Patriots. 28 seconds to go, first half. It is fourth and inches for the Patriots from the four. Brady reaches under center, takes the step, churning left. Devlin trying to push him forward. Tom still churning, still nice. Driving. And Brady has accomplished his aim. It is first and goal to go, it appears, as he reaches the three.
We've got a lot of good teams in the past. You know, this one is going to have to, win a very important game to kind of leave our legacy.
Spotted at the 11, 21-yard try. Swings the right leg. He drives the kick airborne to the uprights, and it's good. The 20th field goal in the postseason career of Steven Gostkowski has given the Patriots a 17-7 advantage.
Obviously proud of our effort tonight. We won two pretty tough games here, at home, and now we got to go on the road and win another one.
Third down and inches for the pass. Brady will move under center. Cameron Fleming, the extra tackle right. Gronkowski there as well. Double stack to the right. Blunt in the back. But Brady pulls away. Play fake to Blunt. Quick throw to a tackle. Eligible Solder. Across the five. Nate barreling over a defender. Diving to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
How about that? No throw to anybody.
Nate made a great catch. You know, tough conditions out there. It's rainy at me. For God's sakes, he runs over two guys to get in there. So, you know, he played a little tight end his first year. I don't know. Maybe we have more tricks up our sleeve.
Patriots leading 31-7. 2.5 minutes to go here on the third. Shotgun snap to left. Backing up against a four-man rush. Lobs a throw near side. Picked off by Darrell Revis. Left sideline 30. Revis to the 20. Revis to the 15. Tackled by Luck.
Place is nuts. Warm up the buses.
Blunt's in the backfield. He takes the handoff. LeGarrette blasted straight ahead. Carves left. Across the five. Between two defenders. Touchdown, Patriots.
Blunt. Trauma. The place is rocking. Nobody's leaving. Nobody wants to go home. You want to sim traffic all night long as you get ready for the Super Bowl.
He ran good. I mean, really, he made some great cuts, you know, in not good conditions. You know, he found yards when there weren't a lot there. He's a tough guy to tackle.
Shotgun snap to Luck. Fires near side. Picked off by Jamie Collins. Right sideline 50. Hurdles Luck and lands at the 40-yard line. Gronkowski motions right. Overload there. Hand off to Blunt. A blast up the middle. Diving across the goal line. Touchdown, Patriots. Three is a charm for LeGarrette Blunt. Here comes Jimmy Garoppolo. From the far side. And there goes Tom Brady. Exit. Stage. Sideline left.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal job. Bill Belichick as he embraces his quarterback in his 15th year. It's an encore for number 12.
Well, Tom's a good player. He works hard. He's in good condition. He's obviously very smart. And he works as hard as any player we have. You know, my guy's as talented as he is and works as hard as he does. Those results aren't that surprising.
The New England Patriots thoroughly dominated the Indianapolis Colts. The quarterback who has started and won more postseason games than any other is bound for a sixth start in the Super Bowl. The head coach who has won more playoff games than any other will lead the Patriots there in 2 weeks to confront the Seattle Seahawks. New England will seek the NFL Summit in the Valley of the Sun. They're going to Glendale for Super Bowl 49.
And again, special thanks to producer Kevin Collins for his work on that montage, reliving some of the sounds from Sunday night, both in-game and post-game from the Patriots players and head coach Bill Belichick as the Pats now get ready for Super Bowl 49 opposite the Seattle Seahawks. And we try to wade through the waters of this ongoing so-called Deflategate investigation. And joining us now on the other line, our ace ticket hotline, is Jeff Howe, the Boston Herald. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jeff P. Howe, and certainly works the Patriots beat as well as anyone. And, Jeff, as thorough as you are as a reporter, how frustrating is it right now, this particular story, diverting so much attention away from the game, but also what has been, in a lot of circles, it seems, a rush to judgment without having all the facts in?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head, Bob. It's frustrating and it's disappointing because, from my perspective and yours too, that it's taking away, or at this point eliminating, what could have been 2 weeks of just epic, legendary previews going into a Super Bowl matchup that has historical implications. The other side of it, the potential rush to judgment, that's why I haven't put any opinions on it out there yet. The investigation's not over. And right now, the things that have come out, sure, they don't look good. But there's a lot until the league says something on the record, until this thing is done, and until we know the answers to way, way, way more questions that haven't been answered yet, it's hard to just put yourself out there, because I think there will be a quadrant of people who have egg on their face.
And I should have asked you before as well, I mean, how closely are you working this story? Because, of course, you have the beat to follow the football game as the Patriots prepare for the Seahawks and try to delve into all the various storylines associated with the game, as you said. But how closely are you attached to this particular story?
I'm following it. I'm doing what I can. But I'll be honest, it's not my top priority, or it hasn't been the last couple of days. We have so much work that we're trying to put together for the next 2 weeks of papers and Super Bowl section and stuff like that, that there's a lot of other stuff that thankfully has taken my attention away, or at least put my attention toward the game. And so it's been kind of a welcome break. I've spent upwards of 10 hours in the last 2 days watching Seahawks film, and I've had a blast doing it, because it's fun to actually just zone out and concentrate on football.
And I want to ask you about a story you wrote today about how the Patriots offense can dictate the game going up against the Seahawks, and about something the Green Bay Packers failed to do in a similar light in their game against the Seahawks, of course, that epic comeback, but also an epic collapse. And we'll do that in just a couple of minutes. But I want to ask you a couple more questions about this so-called Deflategate. About the process, I have read reports that the balls were measured at halftime with a gauge. What do we know about the way the officials inspected footballs prior to the game? And what have you learned or ascertained from people around the league about the way veteran officials in particular, do they go by the letter of the law? Do they get out a gauge and measure the balls very closely prior to games? Or would a guy like Walt Anderson, with all his experience, or an umpire like Carl Paganelli, with all his years of experience, maybe do it a little differently, maybe more of a feel basis prior to the game? What do we know about the process in the case of Sunday night?
Well, as a disclaimer, because I'm not too proud to admit when I'm talking about things that I don't know, I haven't reported a majority of that stuff on a first-hand basis, so I'm going off of a lot of stuff that I've been reading, too. And it sounds like the league went through its protocol 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game, found that the footballs were regulation size and weight, and there was something going on at halftime. They did it apparently a couple more times with each football that the Patriots brought to the field, and found that it sounds like, I guess, all of them were under deflated by at least a pound, and I guess 11 were by 2 pounds of air pressure. So that's the protocol. I mean, there's a huge gray area here too. I mean, we're hearing more and more stories from quarterbacks they basically have their run of these footballs for an entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Manning's story from a few years ago, I remember actually reading that at the time and thinking nothing of it. The Aaron Rodgers comments that have come out, these guys, I'm sure Tom Brady is no different. These guys want to be able to do whatever they can with the football to make sure it's comfortable in their hands for a game as possible, because the rules allow that. And honestly, I think it's kind of odd that the league is, that they police everything down to the color of the shoes that these guys wear on game days. So that they allow teams to do essentially whatever they want with the football, as long as, and the rules say, the refs look at the ball before the game, and all it has to do is, I believe the exact phrase in the rule book is, appear new. So it's just a strange letter of the law and the gray area allows, I think, these things to be massaged in a number of different ways, as long as you don't mess with the air pressure. And I think it's kind of bizarre the way the whole thing is policed to an extent, but not fully. I've learned way too much about footballs in the last few years.
You know, I totally agree. I was shocked by the process as a newcomer to the NFL, still in just my second season. You know, I always thought it was like in baseball, where you had an umpire room attendant rubbing up the baseballs with the mud before the game, and that the baseballs remained with the umpires until the home plate umpire went to home plate for the start of the game. I had no idea before this weekend that the teams were entrusted with the footballs and actually prepared their own balls to put in play.
Yeah, and the other side of that is, too, I'm under the impression that the league or the officiating crew has a designated member who is essentially like a ball babysitter throughout the course of the game. So in order to deflate these footballs during a game, you got to be pretty good at it. There's got to be some sort of process going on. That's why, I mean, the first talk about overanalysis or a rush to judgment earlier in the conversation. I mean, one of the first things that I tweeted on late Sunday night was that it would seem really difficult to go out and doctor these footballs or to deflate them to the extent that the charges are alleging. So, hey, you know what? Right now, I guess maybe that is possibly what happened, but it's bizarre that they have somebody who was monitoring this so diligently, allegedly, and some potential foul play has still been executed, possibly.
We're joined by Jeff Howe, the Boston Herald. You can follow him at Jeff P. Howe. Just a few more minutes remaining, and I do appreciate your time. I know it's extremely busy, Jeff. But before we talk about football for a couple of those minutes, to close this one out, as far as the Patriots players are concerned, they were mum on Monday. How do you expect them to deal with it if this investigation is ongoing, if it's not wrapped up and a conclusion is reached in the next 24 to 48 hours, if this lingers into next week and even beyond the Super Bowl?
They are extremely good at this stuff. I'm sure they're irritated. Saw the Brandon Browner tweet. I'm sure you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably as passionate as we'll see anybody really respond to this. This is a team that, I think I was going to look it up. I just didn't have the chance to yet. Roughly 80% of this team was on the roster last year when they went through the Aaron Hernandez stuff. So they are very well-versed in the face of controversy and the amount of questions and badgering that they're going to get from the media, especially at this time of year when the locker room is overrun with national media who, I mean, if all you got to do is just do a quick search on Twitter, and it's pretty easy to tell the national media has the pitchforks ready, and they're going to go in there trying to tear this place down. And I mean, that's basically the same sort of deal that we saw last August or in August 2013 with the Hernandez stuff. So, It's a locker room and a group that is going to be very well prepared for it, because a lot of these guys have gone through another major type of controversy, one that has much more major implications than deflated footballs.
And again, we're visiting with Jeff Howe, the Boston Herald. He wrote today about how the Patriots can dictate play against the Seahawks, and essentially they can set the tone by going after Richard Sherman. And I was surprised on Sunday, in retrospect, and I heard some people say this as well, that after Sherman, although he had an interception early in that game, but after he hurt his elbow and played with the hyperextension throughout the contest, that the Packers never really challenged him whatsoever. Were you surprised by that as well? I mean, of all the different things that combined and conspired to lead to that outcome, it was something that really kind of got overlooked as well.
Yeah, not only did they not target him, I don't think they targeted him a single time after that point, but they didn't even run at him.
Right.
I mean, you got a guy like Eddie Lacy and a cornerback who is as obviously ailing as Sherman was. You got to force the guy to try to make a tackle, do something to use that arm, and they just never tried to do it. So, yeah, I mean, that's Mike McCarthy missing opportunities seems to be a pretty routine story out of Green Bay, and that was a major one right there.
What about the Seahawks, though, impresses you most? I mean, we can talk about Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson offensively, and the defense and their ability to cover and their aggressive nature. But as the Patriots go into this game and they're plotting their game plan strategy right now, what do you see as the priorities for them based on what impresses you most about Seattle?
Well, starting with the Patriots offense versus Seahawks defense, like you said, the way that they can dictate the matchups. Richard Sherman, I didn't watch every snap of every game, but it looked like the only time Richard Sherman played on the defensive right side of the field all season was after Maxwell went down in week 6 against the Cowboys. Sherman started following Dez Bryant for the entire second half and into actually starting in the second quarter. So he's going to stay on that the defensive left. So that means, I mean, honestly, I think it'd be hilarious. Patriots lined up their first play of the game and used all 5 of their eligible receivers to Tom Brady's left and made Richard Sherman just kind of stand on the other side of the field by himself just as a statement, because I think you can beat those guys on the left side. Maxwell's a good corner, but he's not to the level of where Brandon Browner was a year ago when he was playing at his best on that defense. Lane, the slot corner, is going to play a good 6 to 8 yards off the line of scrimmage a majority of the time. He can jam guys, but he's going to give you opportunities to exploit the short passing game, which obviously the Patriots are tremendous at. So I think you got to go left, you got to go quick, and you got to use those opportunities to your advantage. And the Seahawks, they man up. I had a good conversation with Sherman this offseason. I also spent some time with him last year in the Super Bowl. He said both times, he's consistent. They do what they do because they know they do it well, and they're not really afraid to continue with that, because again, they like the man coverage. They don't call a lot of plays. They don't do checks at the line. Brady is going to be able to line up with his personnel where he wants them, and he's going to know almost exclusively every single play what every player on that Seahawks team is doing. And now they have some zone blitzes and stuff like that, so there will be some exceptions, but you know what they're doing. So the Seahawks are a proud team. You have to use that against them. The other side, you got to stop the run. Marshawn Lynch is good or as valuable as any running back in the NFL. He's tremendous. Their zone or their read options are a huge weapon. They ran 17 zones, or I don't know why I keep saying that. They ran 17 read options last week against the Packers, and they gained, I don't have the numbers in front of me, I think it was 121 yards. They had 17 other carries in a traditional sense, mm-hmm. excluding the one kneel down, and they only had 74 yards. And another number that stuck out, and I'm kind of putting this all together in the paper for tomorrow, their final 11 plays of the fourth quarter, after they got the ball 3 minutes and 54 seconds to go, down 19-7, they ran 11 offensive plays. 6 of them were the read option. So that shows a team that isn't as urgent of a situation as that was, about as urgent as you can basically get into. They still were comfortable enough with their running game to not have to force it through the air, because Russell Wilson was so bad at doing it. His receivers, I mean, they had 7 drops in that game too. So they can use the running game as effectively as a lot of teams can pass it in those hurry-up situations.
And very quickly to follow up, the Patriots have been pretty good, to say the least, against the zone read for the most part. But if you're looking at one direction or the other, do you expect the Seahawks to try to exploit Ninkovich's side or Chandler Jones's side, if that's the way the Patriots line up with their defensive ends, outside linebackers, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think you probably want to run it at Chandler Jones. He's just been the weaker of the two in terms of run defense this season. But I think there are ways to avoid that. And let's say, I mean, if you're going to run a Chandler Jones, that means Marshawn Lynch is going to be lined up to Russell Wilson's right hip pocket, basically, behind him. And then you're going to have on Ninkovich's side, maybe Ninkovich is the quarterback spy, maybe not. I thought the Packers did a good job of using a linebacker or a defensive back in a spy role outside the defensive end's outside shoulder. So I could see a situation where the Patriots use Jamie Collins or Patrick Chung or Kyle Arrington in that type of role, in the protection, the edge-setting role, to make sure that Wilson doesn't get outside the pocket on his runs. And then with that, you kind of overload the other side, because more often than not, Marshawn Lynch, if he's lined up to Wilson's right, is going to run across Wilson then to the left side of the offensive line. So you kind of want to make sure you overload the line there a little bit, because it is a numbers game. Now, Lynch is good at cutting back. He had a couple of great cutback runs against the Packers when they were trying to do that. So you got to win matchups, and Marshawn Lynch is going to get his. But fundamentally, it comes down to stopping the run, winning those battles, and forcing Russell Wilson to make some of those mistakes, because he made some really egregious ones against the Packers.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jeff, as always, great stuff. Thanks so much for your time and your expertise.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Bob.
All right. Thanks again. Jeff Howe, the Boston Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff P. Howe. And again, as you just heard, as knowledgeable as any reporter, I think, who covers the Patriots and does a great job on the beat. And like Jeff and his desire to write about football, I can't wait to talk strictly about football as we look ahead to the Super Bowl, of course, for the Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. We'll continue with more of the show. We're going to hear from some of the Patriot players from Monday and as well look back at the game in 2012 when the Patriots last played the Seattle Seahawks. That was a thriller in the Northwest. The Seahawks eventually pulled it out. And we'll go back and listen to some of the highlights from that contest and talk a bit more about the details, whatever relevance it might have on the game in 2 weeks, or a week and a half, of course, a week from this Sunday. And at this point, it probably has very, very little relevance, but at least the Patriots have gone against Wilson and the Seahawks and Lynch, and they did a very good job, by the way, against Marshawn Lynch in that particular game. And so they have at least somewhat of a feel for that dynamic young quarterback, more dynamic with his legs perhaps than his arm, but still has that ability to make some big throws. He did it in 2012 against the Pats, and down the stretch he did it despite his early mistakes against Green Bay as well. But first, a timeout for these words on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Have a question for the voice of the Patriots?
Shotgun snap against the four-man rush. Plenty of time to throw toward Gronkowski. Makes the grab left feet. Stiff arms of the defender at the 25. Set free at the 20. Drive to the 15-10. Angling right to the 5. Gronkowski dives to the goal line. His third touchdown for the Patriots.
Call him on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Bob Soucy Show.
And we welcome you back to the Bob Soucy Show from inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here at Gillette Stadium. Again, our thanks to this point to Scott Zolak, Jackie Britton, and Jeff Howe, the Boston Herald, for joining us on the show as we look ahead to Super Bowl 49, but of course also try to explore in what way we can the ongoing situation regarding the NFL's reported investigation into whether or not the underinflated footballs that have been reported in Sunday's AFC Championship between the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts will lead to any findings of improprieties, and we will certainly do our best to stay on top of it. Of course, as many of you listen to this podcast, downloading it as opposed to listening to the live stream, so much of what we discuss will almost, if not altogether, be obsolete because of the fluid nature of this particular story. But we did want to at least play a soundbite from one of the Patriots who met with reporters on Monday, Matthew Slater, the eloquent spokesperson, special teams captain, and a perennial Pro Bowler, and also someone who I think really articulates and speaks for the organization as well as any player in that locker room. And he was asked about the accusations being made at that point in time. The allegations were first being reported by Bob Kravitz out of Indianapolis. It was prior to the Chris Mortensen report and the fallout of the last 24 to 48 hours or so. And this was Monday afternoon at Gillette Stadium, and here's what Matthew Slater had to say.
All I can say is this, we try to do things the right way. You know, by no means are any of us perfect. We're all humans. But, you know, we try to do things the right way. We work hard at our jobs, at our professions, to be successful. And it's unfortunate that things like this come up. But, you know, that's life. That's the world we live in. And, you know, it is what it is.
Doesn't it seem like people come out of the woodwork at times, though, to almost discredit you guys?
You know, that's tough to say. Look, no matter what you do in this life, what profession you're in, not everybody's going to like you. It doesn't matter what you do or who you are. That's just the reality. So, you know, we just have to deal with it and focus on preparing for Seattle.
And again, it's an issue that deserves a lot more context and perspective than, unfortunately, it's been given to this point. And someone who's tried to do that, I think, in a very good way is Jason Lockenfora of CBSSports.com. And I would suggest going to read his latest on CBSSports.com with regards to this particular issue. It's really written through the broader view of some former NFL quarterbacks, including Rich Gannon and Boomer Esiason and Steve Berline as well. And he also quotes an anonymous source, someone who previously worked for the Patriots. And the headline is Deflategate, : NFL quarterbacks doctoring footballs is nothing new. And again, it's written by Jason Lockenfora, and it was posted earlier this afternoon. And that will be the last word on that subject for the rest of this show, or as we, of course, look forward to Super Bowl 49 between the Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. And we know that 2 years ago these teams met in the Northwest, in Seattle, in game number 6 of the 2012 season. The Pats lost a close one, 24-23. New England had a 17-10 lead at halftime. The Patriots then increased the advantage. Steven Gostkowski had a string of 3 straight field goals, and the Pats built a 23-10 advantage over Seattle. But midway through the fourth quarter, the Seahawks were able to rally and come from behind, eventually prevailing by the narrowest of margins, 24-23. Let's go back and have a brief listen to some of the highlights as called by the legendary Gil Santos.
Snap comes to Wilson, and he's back to throw. Steps up, gets rid of it. Oh, the ball is on the ground.
They got it.
And the Patriots have the football at the Seattle 47-48-yard line. They're going to say the Seahawks are saying his arm was going forward, but I'm not sure.
No way that was going forward. Chandler Jones, he had no clue Chandler Jones was behind him. Great job, Chandler Jones.
The rush on Wilson, going to be sacked back at about the 11-yard line, and that was rookie Chandler Jones, his second sack of the game, 5 on the season for this terrific first-round pick. Wilson is back to throw. No play action fake there. Starts a roll to his right. Looks, fires it long and deep end zone, but... touchdown. A touchdown reception by Doug Baldwin. Empty backfield for Brady. Slots to both sides. Snap to Brady. Has time. Floats it long and deep right side. Intercepted at the 19-yard line by Seattle. Pass was intended for Deion Branch. It's play action fake by Wilson. He's back to throw. He looks. He fires it long and deep. His man is open. Should be caught. It is. Touchdown. Saw that one coming with a minute and 18 to go. Seattle takes the lead on a 47-yard touchdown pass.
That was cash money.
Second down coming for Seattle. They'll take the knee here and walk out of here with a victory by 1 point. So the Patriots will fall to 3-3 by a total of 4 points. Unbelievable.
That's an embarrassing loss.
Well, unbelievable in one way, believable in another, because I kept telling you guys this does not look good because they just didn't put them away when they had the chance to put them away.
And again, Gil Santos working with Scott Zolak in game number 6 of the 2012 season. And the Patriots lost 24-23 against Seattle. The Pats going up against a defense that has been the NFL's best for the last 3 seasons. In that particular game, gained 475 yards with 388 through the air. Seattle was allowing a league-low 258.6 yards per game going into that game. And again, the Patriots gained over 470 against Seattle, but as Gil alluded to, a lot of missed opportunities settling for field goals in that particular contest, and eventually Seattle winning it, coming from behind as the young quarterback Russell Wilson hit Sidney Rice on a 46-yard pass for a 24-23 advantage after the point after by the Needham, Massachusetts place kicker Stephen Hauschka for the Seattle Seahawks. In that game, Chandler Jones, who had a couple of highlights that you heard, had two sacks for the Pats as well as a forced fumble. Chandler with his first multi-sack performance, and now he and the Patriots have to prepare for the Seahawks, of course, with Seattle looking to defend its Super Bowl title from a year ago, try to become the first repeat champion since the Patriots of 2003 and 2004. Now, some of the Patriots in the locker room on Monday talked a little bit about what is expected in this next week. Among them was Matthew Sletter, who we heard from just a short while ago. Matthew Sletter in particular singled out a guy that played in the Pac-12, Pac-10 as it were, when Matthew and he were in the conference, Marshawn Lynch, the outstanding running back who's gained more than 5,300 yards for Seattle since 2011. And, in fact, had a record for the Seahawks franchise, most postseason rushing yards in a single game against the Green Bay Packers, over 150 in that contest last Sunday, including 120-plus in the second half and overtime. And as Jeff Howe told us a bit earlier from the Boston Herald, the Seahawks did not abandon the run, even when trailing late in that game. And that tells you about the importance of Lynch in particular, along with the legs of Russell Wilson, when it comes to Seattle's success, even coming from behind down two scores to the Green Bay Packers in the late going of the NFC Championship. But here's what Matthew Sletter had to say about the Seahawks of the present.
You know, obviously two great teams there, and, you know, Seattle made more plays down the stretch, and they were able to make the plays when it counted. And, you know, hats off to Russell Wilson. He's a tremendous competitor. He's a clutch performer. And when his team needed him, he showed up. And then, obviously, I'm a big Marshawn Lynch fan because he's a Pac-12 guy. He ran all over us at UCLA. So I've seen that show before.
And, of course, Matthew, as a Patriots wide receiver and a special teams ace, doesn't have to tackle Marshawn Lynch for the Patriots defense in this game. He is a tough guy to bring down, known as beast mode. Of course, Marshawn Lynch has been exactly that, a beast against the NFL since 2011 in particular. Four straight Pro Bowl selections for him, five overall, and Russell Wilson has been, again, now the face of the franchise for the Seahawks since coming into the league as a third-round pick out of Wisconsin, though he started his collegiate career at NC State. Remember, he played under former Boston College head coach Tom O'Brien at NC State, and then transferred to Wisconsin for one more year. NC State had a decision to make. Wilson was also playing minor league baseball. Mike Glennon was a young quarterback for the Wolfpack with a chance to play as a starter and eventually make the NFL, which he did. And eventually, with Glennon becoming the quarterback for the Wolfpack, Russell Wilson used his final year of football eligibility and took his talents to Wisconsin and was an outstanding player, of course, for the Badgers before being selected, albeit in the third round, by Seattle. The Seahawks at the time had a free agent signee at quarterback Matt Flynn. They signed him to a pretty lucrative deal, but it was Wilson who unseated Flynn and has been there, of course, ever since as a quarterback, leading the Seahawks to this remarkable stretch of success with great help from the running game on offense and, of course, the defense of the Seahawks. Nobody better when it comes to points allowed and yards allowed than the Seattle Seahawks, with their secondary in particular getting so much attention because of the likes of Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, and Earl Thomas. But as well, it's a very impressive front seven, too. Very quick defense. They lost one of their better players, Mebane, earlier in the year to injury, but they've been able to play very well, of course, on that side of the ball. Although they did seem vulnerable to the run, with Eddie Lacy having some success on Sunday in the NFC Championship. And as we delve into the storylines of the game on the field next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, whether or not the Patriots will run the ball against the Seahawks and whether the Patriots can have success toward that end, too, with LeGarrette Blount coming off another very impressive playoff performance as the Patriots get ready for Seattle in a week from Sunday. But as we talk about the Seahawks and that defense, Bobby Wagner, so impressive as well in the linebacking core, and his return earlier this year made an impact as well. You've been absent for a short while because of an injury, came back to the Seahawks, and again, they have been especially stingy since his return to the lineup. But for the Patriots right now, they're getting set. Their last day really to prepare away from Gillette before they reconvene at the facility tomorrow and dive headfirst into the game plan, the installation, and the practice and preparation that will take place here. The Pats will leave for Glendale on Monday, and of course they will continue their preparation next week out in Arizona for Super Bowl 49. We asked a couple of the players for the Patriots about this whole process on Monday, this past Monday, about the whole process of preparing for a Super Bowl when you have to handle ticket requests from family members more than usual and the various media obligations with the greater gatherings than usual that are present at the Patriots facility, in the locker room at Gillette Stadium, in the press conference room as well, and of course when they get out to Glendale, there will be any number of oddball questions on media day, for example, from media all over the world, and many of them not necessarily reporting for sports outlets, but to try to do their unique humorous takes on the various subjects that they'll delve into, and it makes for quite a bizarre scene. It's bizarre watching it from afar when one sees the coverage on television, and of course for yours truly to be a part of it next Tuesday, it certainly should be a very interesting experience, to say the least. But we asked Julian Edelman of the Patriots as well as Matthew Slater about the whole experience, and Dan Roach took the lead for WBZ TV in Boston, and of course our colleague as well here at Patriots.com with Patriots All Access. And Roach led off the questioning about the excitement of the Super Bowl and the experience of the Patriot players are going to have to rely on those who've been there before and prep for this game before to have a sharp focus come Super Bowl Sunday.
You've been through us a lot. Excitement level right now?
It's very high. I think, you know, when you're able to experience the fruits of your hard work and it pays off for you, it's very gratifying, and you know we're excited for the opportunity that we have to play in the Super Bowl and play against the defending champions. So I think we're very excited right now.
Message to the guys this week about maybe getting some stuff done and you know finish with tickets, family, hotel before you head on that plane.
You know, you definitely want to get that out of the way as soon as you can, and eliminate all distractions. I mean, at the end of the day, we got to realize we're there to play and win a football game. Both teams are there to do that. You know, it's a great experience for your families. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. But that's not the priority. The priority is to go out there and finish what we started.
How much does it help that you've been through this before, Matthew, with your teammates and talking to them about it?
It's definitely nice to have that experience and know what to expect, because it can be a little bit overwhelming, especially dealing with media, family requests, and so on. So hopefully we can give the young guys some pointers on how to limit those distractions, how to say no to certain things, and you know, just take care of our business come Super Bowl Sunday.
And again, our thanks to Matthew Slater, as I speak for the media who are on hand on Monday, and in particular to Dan Roach, who always does such a great job, of course, as a co-sportscaster of the year in the state of Massachusetts with the great Dave Gosher, the voice of the Boston Bruins, who's been the honoree of as a second straight recipient of that outstanding award from the National Society of Sportscasters and Sports Writers, or the National Sports Writer and Sportscaster Association, or the National Sportscaster and Sports Writer Association, as it were, based in Salisbury, North Carolina, I'm sorry. But nonetheless, Roche and Ghosh, again, honored this year as the Sportscasters of the Year for the state of Massachusetts. And, you know, those guys do such a terrific job. And Dan leading off the questioning there of Matthew Slater on Monday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. Gabriel's been on hold for a while out in California. I said we'd have the last word on the so-called Deflategate story, but Gabriel does have some thoughts that he wants to share, and we're going to allow him to do that. Gabriel, how are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I got a question. Let's say, you know, if they were accused of it, like about the balls, whatever, which, you know, you never know, but hopefully they didn't. But because I'm a big Patriots fan, and I was looking at ESPN First Take, and if they say if Belichick knew, would you think they'll come hard by taking Belichick for that year, like, or would they just take draft picks and mess with the salary cap?
Gabriel, I have no idea, honestly. And the first thing I would say is that First Take on ESPN wouldn't be my number one source for dialogue on any subject of substance. I think that's a show that it's got a formula. It's very similar to Crossfire that used to appear on CNN before Jon Stewart took the co-host of that show to task for the way they covered politics. It seems to me the whole point of a show like First Take is to put two diametrically opposed individuals who are very outspoken, and even if those opinions are very contrived, one of them has to be the contrarian, and it's all designed to incite reaction from listeners and viewers one way or the other, but doesn't necessarily shed a whole light on the situation. I tend to look at a show like that with the perspective that's, I think, best described by Bob Costas when he talks about heat over illumination. And that's a show that sheds a light on the subject for heat, to intensify the heat as opposed to illuminate. But, I don't know what they said, and I have read some reports. And I think, again, before anybody, starts to speculate about what any possible penalties will be, there has to be evidence of wrongdoing. And there isn't yet. I mean, regardless of what's been reported and what we know of the situation from Sunday night, as I speak at 5:50 on Wednesday afternoon, a week and a half before the Super Bowl, there has been no judgment handed down by the NFL. There's been no completed investigation that's been reported. I just referred to a column that Jason Lockenfora wrote for CBSSports.com in his attempt to try to add some context and perspective to the issue. I think we can all use some context and perspective about this particular issue. And, whether or not there is, any evidence of wrongdoing, whether balls were underinflated or not at this point, again, there's no knowledge yet, at least it seems to me, based on what I have read and heard, of any systemic wrongdoing or anything of that nature. So until the facts are reported and the announcement comes from the NFL, it's all wild speculation at this point.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I was just, because I'm a big Patriots fan, I wouldn't want to see my Patriots suffering next year without Belichick. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll tell you what, hopefully it doesn't even come close to that. And, like I said, I'm in no position to speculate about anything that's going to result from this because, we just don't know very much at the moment. I know a lot of people have rushed to judgment and made conclusions based on what has been reported, but the more you talk to people around the league, it certainly is, in the words of people like Boomer Esiason and Rich Gannon, who are broadcasters and former quarterbacks and people who are certainly entrenched in the NFL culture and very close to the league, that in their opinions, as they have spoken and have been quoted in several stories being written, it's been entirely exaggerated, and I hate to say it again, but it's been overblown. But, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens when the NFL makes its findings known, and we'll go from there.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, Gabriel, thanks for listening, and thanks for holding for so long and sharing your thoughts. And as I invite our producer, Kevin Collins, back in, of course, it's going to be a busy week in Arizona. But before we get out there, Kevin, a lot to do in the next few days here at Gillette. And going through this whole process, you've been around this organization for a while now. How excited are you? And despite everything that's being, said and reported about, the Colts bringing footballs to the attention of the NFL and the fallout from what took place after the DeQuell Jackson interception on Sunday night. How excited do you sense people are around Gillette Stadium, people in the organization who work so hard year-round and now to have an opportunity to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
I think everyone's excited. I know I am. I think it'll be a lot of fun for you and I to be able to do a live show out there. That's something I'm really looking forward to doing. We'll have PFW in Progress live out there, noon to 2 Eastern time, which means we'll be getting up a little bit earlier to do the shows. It'll only be 10 o'clock out there in Arizona, so it'll be a little bit of a different feel. I think we have a very unique and kind of inside privilege, Bob, being able to broadcast directly from the team hotel. A lot of people think we're on Radio Row. We make no bones about our location and where we're at. In Indy, we set up shop, right outside our administrative offices. We were actually in a bellhop stand, believe it or not. And everything worked out great, and we were able to grab players from time to time who were walking by to do like little brief interviews and give us some insight on their feelings and their excitement leading up to the game. So we were able to provide content that literally nobody else had access to. So it's definitely, you know, we're your source next week for inside, you know, Patriot info. And we will have access to the team that nobody else does, and we will not be amongst the throngs at Radio Row. You and I might venture down there, Bob, to kind of check it out, and maybe we'll be able to get some sound to bring back for our show next week. But we will have a very unique and kind of lucrative broadcast next week, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, Kevin. It's a very exciting time, of course. And, you know, as we said at the top, the thing that's frustrating right now for a lot of us is the fact that we have to talk about things unrelated.
It's taking away from it a little.
To the game. Yeah. And you know, and again, hopefully it's all behind us in the very, very near future. And we can concentrate on these really gripping storylines and what should be as good a matchup in a Super Bowl as we have seen unfold in a long, long time, given the Patriots and the Seahawks, the two organizations. I think what you have in Seattle is a team that really is in position to have the kind of run of success in the NFC that the Patriots have enjoyed. Maybe not to the extent of a decade and a half, but nonetheless, they've got this young quarterback. They've got a general manager in John Schneider who comes from that Ron Wolf tree of football proteges and certainly has done a great job in building that organization in concert with Pete Carroll and this team that plays with so much swagger and attitude but yet backs it up. And you have the meeting of the two head coaches, of course, both of them hired by the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, who has now celebrated more conference championships and Super Bowl berths than any other owner in NFL history. Tom Brady goes into the game, of course, to make his sixth Super Bowl start, a record. Bill Belichick ties Don Shula for most Super Bowls as a head coach and has now won more postseason games than any other head coach in NFL history. But as a lot of people will do, to me, the stories about legacies are really secondary. What it's all about is culminating this season with, let's say, the perfect ending. And, yeah, that's a little bit of a play on words because of what took place in Glendale in 2008. Of course, when that 2007 unbeaten regular season Patriot team was defeated by the New York Giants. But it's in part about that. But it's really just about the perfect ending for this particular team to what has been a marvelous season. And, of course, New England has had to wait a long time for that next championship. The Pats have been so close twice since winning the 3 and 4 years. And this remarkable stretch of success continues this year. And the detractors aside from the outside, you can't take that away from the Patriots, just how good they have been as an organization and as a team and how talented they are. But beyond that, how resourceful they are as a group. And I'm talking about on the field, 53 men, special teams, offense, defense, everybody contributing in a big way at various points in time, if not consistently, all season long. And now to be in this position to go up against the NFC's best, clearly in the Seattle Seahawks. And again, you have the top seeds in the Super Bowl for the second straight year. And unlike last season, I think that all projections are that this will be a very, very tight and entertaining Super Bowl, and I can't wait. So, as Kevin said, next Wednesday when we come to you from 4 to 6 Eastern Time from Arizona, I want to say the Valley of the Sun. I'm not sure if we're going to be in Phoenix at that point in time, in Glendale at that point in time. I'm not quite sure where we will be. But
could
we will be
in Mexico by that time.
We will be somewhere in the Southwest. Somewhere where the temperature is much hotter than what we're experiencing here in New England on this Wednesday. But thanks so much for logging on and listening live as well as downloading the podcast. Our special thanks once more to Scott Zolak, to Jackie Britton, and, of course, to Jeff Howell, the Boston Herald, as well as all of our callers. And for my producer, Kevin Collins, I'm Bob Soucy from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Soucy Show, exclusively on Patriots.com radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots! Patriots!
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off Ridley, runs it right. Ridley dives to the goal line. He's in again. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Soucy Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shotgun snap to Manning. Play fake. Throw to the near side. Ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving break on the ball.
He's got it.
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it.
Patriots take over.
This place is berserk.
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Soucy Show.